This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Very nice. It is Vampire Weekend and This Life. Okay. 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com. Friday morning. Any weekend plans going on, everybody? What do we got going on?
I'm going to Hazy View for the week.
Oh, nice.
Ah, that time has finally come.
Yes, Leanne will not be here on Monday and Wednesday. Monday and Tuesday next week.
Has the trailer been loaded?
There are two.
Oh,
so there's a wine and a spirits trailer.
Yeah, that's my one. And then the other one has wheelchairs, walkers,
That's also for you, right? after the wine and spirits trailers have been empty.
How many people are going in total?
I think there are about eight or something, seven or eight.
Nice.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. First time I'm going to be out of Joburg in 2.5 years.
Wow. Sure. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like escaping from prison.
It is.
Good for you.
Why are you making it sound like that?
Well, if you've been stuck in Joburg for 2.5 years, you haven't left the city. That's awful.
It's claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Especially having lived in very open spaces in the Cape, in the Western Cape before.
Yeah. Basically, she's got cabin fever. It's time for her to break out.
Ooh.
That's nice. You get to go with the family as well. It's a bit of a tradition for you guys.
It is, yeah. So it was 2 years ago on the 21st of May, so it's just past the anniversary of my mum's stroke. And we
so
had...
her first time to go away as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we had packed, basically, for this trip two years ago when it struck.
Oh.
So it's quite the whole thing's quite symbolic.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to
that. Have you got someone to write the story down on your journey so that they can publish something afterwards, like, you know, a Hobbit's journey or whatever it is?
I should do it myself, actually.
Yeah, you should. It would be a hell of a story.
Yeah.
Your memoirs.
Are you doing anything?
Both my parents are in town this weekend.
Are you happy about that or a little annoyed?
You know, I need to take my family in doses. Mm. So we have lunch. Gladly not at my place, which means I can be there for 45 minutes.
Ah, you've timed it already.
Then I have some sort of excuse that I'll make up. But yeah, just seeing my friends a bit, invited to braai, you know what that means. Braai. I'll just stand away from the fire because not my vibe. And yeah.
Will you at least help make the salads?
Absolutely.
What is
not.
It about? So you don't like
what
this.
Do you mean? So you just pitch up.
Yeah, yes. So he just arrives and uses and abuses and drinks and eats.
No, I know
you bring
my
nothing.
I do. You always do.
Don't throw in your value as a conversationist and raconteur as bringing something, all right?
Yeah, your fabulous personality.
Yeah. No, you always do. As a nice guest. So I think I'm bringing dessert on Sunday. Uh-huh. But I always have my...
Is that what you call yourself?
Dessert on Sunday.
You people really don't take me seriously.
We just know you so well, Sia.
I have my position in all of this because I'm not in the kitchen cooking. I'm not out by a fire. So I usually make friends with the mother of whoever's hosting and I just koch it up with one of the mothers.
Mm. Well, that's cool.
You're such
like
a butt, actually.
Just
deep
so
down.
He can avoid all the work, the actual... Yeah.
And do you know what we end up doing? We end up sitting on the kitchen counter or on the bar stools with a glass of wine. Oh, and the mothers just always pile that on.
And then they give you all the gossip, so you do the intel of the whole place. Yeah, I got you.
Yes.
All right. Ben, someone has to do that.
What are you up to?
Oh, I'm emceeing a dog show tomorrow. Yeah.
What?
Oh, how did you learn that gig?
I know. I've always actually wanted to do this.
Really?
A full-on dog show.
Is it like a proper... Listen, I can warn you. That these people are crazy.
Yeah,
a lot of them own these animals, these dogs, but they never see them. The dogs actually live with a trainer and a groomer.
Yeah, it's like race car driving. Let me run you through the itinerary.
Yeah.
There's the canine security services, and then there's the fairy tales agility, tricks and obedience, dancing dogs, my puppy and me lookalike.
Oh my word!
Fairy tale weaves, and then there's flyball at the end.
Weaves.
Yeah, that's what I got to go through, run through.
Jeez, but a horrible thing. I don't like these shows. These dogs don't look happy to me.
No, they love it. They love it. I used to feel the same way about watching horses race, but they love it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. You're the animal person on the show. Mm. All right, Ben, so you'll give us some feedback on your first MC job as a dog show
person. As a dog show person, I've obviously MC'd many times, but dog show...
All right.
Very important.
So look at you guys, it's an exciting weekend.
If you're in the Irene area, it's the Irene Village Mall Dog Agility Day. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Is this a morning gig, Ben, or is it the day, the whole day?
It's like morning into early afternoon. Yeah.
What are you up to, Gareth?
I got
Gareth's going to a dog show.
Well, now I am. I got a disco party. I had to go and get a fancy dress outfit yesterday. A friend of mine, she's having this massive 30th birthday, and she's inviting, I don't know, it's like 100 people or something.
Wow.
And we all have to dress up in disco stuff.
Do you like themed parties?
Not really, but this one I've made an effort.
How much of an effort?
No, I went to a fancy dress shop yesterday.
Did you get a fancy dress?
I got like the most outrageous loud suit you could ever imagine.
What color is it?
It's full of... I'll show you a picture.
You know, because some people wear an orange tie to a theme party and they're like, I've made an effort. No, that doesn't really count.
It's this outrageous Austin.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that looks like an average Thursday night.
Oh, it's got the Union Jack all over
it. So it's meant to be an Austin Powers thing. I've got a pimp chain.
So cool.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, this is a whole ensemble.
Pair of gold glasses.
That's nice. And how big are the heels in your shoes?
I don't have the... You see, I don't think you'll see the shoes because it's kind of got these flared pants, so it doesn't even matter what shoes they are. So that's my weekend.
That is fun.
Yeah,
this is your second weekend at, like, being out and social.
Oh, look at me. I'm turning into a human again. Isn't that nice? After spending as much time away from people as possible, I'm getting back into being human. And I've got to tell you, it does feel kind of good.
I still think that you're going to end up in a cabin with a shotgun, and if anyone comes onto your property, you'll shoot them.
Oh, that's definitely on the way. Just get ready. It's coming to a village near you.
Oh, hopefully not.
All right. A few other things we've got to look at, but I've already got you excited about this. So let Leanne tell you about this enormous python that swallowed an even bigger python. I mean, that really is just, you know, animals, some animals have confidence. Like, you're the size of a pinky finger, but you swallow someone the size of an arm. That's a powerful statement.
So the story starts with warning graphic images, which of course makes you look.
Yes, I love that.
And it literally is a massive python eating an even bigger one. A photographer at the Parry Creek Farm Tourist Resort and Caravan Park in Australia captured the photo.
Caravan Park.
And the guy who runs the park said, "We relocate these big guys so they don't eat our chooks," which are the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "We saw we had a good feed of something." Yes,
they've been eating our chooks.
So they counted the chooks, and it wasn't one of the chooks. So they bagged him and moved him. When they opened the bag, this python started regurgitating the other python. So it obviously couldn't handle it.
It was too big.
Sweet, and so it started. They thought that it was regurgitating like a whole lot of smaller animals. But when they saw the tail, they realized it was...
It always looks so uncomfortable when these snakes regurgitate. You almost want to help them by stepping on the other one. You know what I mean?
Grab the two tails and pull them apart.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
But okay, so first things first. A small python can eat a bigger one. They can expand to...
And they'll do it just for reasons of hunger. It's not like a territorial thing. It's just, I'm hungry and that looks filling.
But if it had
filling.
Just done what the farmer said and eaten a chook, it would have been able to keep it in. And it wouldn't have been so sore. I mean, it must be sore.
It's also harder to digest a python because of the skin. Like, the acids and stuff will get rid of a chicken quickly.
Eek.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
Like, you must hate, because at this stage, if you're a python, and I'm no python expert, but eating another python is not exactly top of the menu. So you must hate this python so much. It's like, I want to eat you, bitch. I want to eat you.
Well, you're just so freaking hungry.
No, but Leah,
and it'll literally fill your stomach.
Yeah, but to digest another one of you isn't... It's just not good. Like a bird, all that kind of stuff. Nutrition-wise, it makes better sense.
I wonder... I mean, that other python must have been dead for it to start the process.
I saw a horrible video. You know, I hate lizards, right?
Yeah, you're not a reptile fan.
So there's a Komodo dragon eating a monkey.
Oh, no.
But head first, and then all you see is this thing going, throwing its head up and back, and it like swallows the legs and the tail last. And then it just walks away. It's got this whole monkey in it, and it walks away. Animals are... Listen, it's tough out there, man.
Especially in the outback.
But this is let's take us right back, right? So to our great creator, whoever he or she may be, mm-hmm. what kind of a sick and twisted piece of shit made it like, okay, here all the animals die, kill each other,
eat each other,
prey on each other, torment and hurt each other.
I've always thought the worst way to die would be to be eaten by something.
But it must be like...
Well, in 2017, a giant 23-foot python was found to have eaten an Indonesian farmer, swallowing the man whole.
See, now that's cuck because it's slow.
So
yeah,
slow.
It must be very slow. Quick. If it's a crocodile, if it's a lion, and just chomps me up, good.
No, axe murder is not great.
The python will asphyxiate you first, so you'll die because you can't breathe.
But still, it's slow because
slow.
You can breathe out, but it doesn't allow you to breathe in again.
Oh
yeah, how terrible!
And
you'll
still have a bit of fight in you, so that'll be about 10 seconds.
And how evil!
Then it digests you over a period of weeks.
Mm.
Well, it's also cuck if people are mourning you. You're kind of still deadish
in the snake.
It's like where? Well, it's a process, you know. Some people get open caskets. Some people get like open pythons. There he is.
Oh, gross!
This is really not making me feel.
It's kind of interesting. Like if you think about a python, though, it's almost like putting all the person's remains in a big plastic bag.
Well, a snakeskin bag. It's quite fancy. Yeah.
Yes, actually, a Louis Vuitton snakeskin bag.
Mm.
It's a hell of a way to go. I mean, if you're going to be put in packaging, that's not bad packaging. Snake skin's pretty expensive.
Eat me up. Eat me up there and then. Let's call it a day.
You'd rather be eaten in chunks like by a lion.
And like a whole pride of lions. Make it very quick.
Yeah.
Let them all. One runs away with my arm, another with my leg. Right. Let there be nothing. Because I also think the idea,
screaming just before the incident.
Oh, Jesus.
The idea of your carcass also just laying there is quite sad.
Yeah, you should be eaten by wild dogs because they will rip you to shreds.
They'll eat every bit.
And because they are small compared to other predators, they've got to finish you quick, otherwise they get beaten up.
Imagine that. See, you're just being eaten. I think the worst to be eaten by is a crocodile. Apparently, they really take their time.
I'm going to crocodile territory and hippos. They'll do some really bad damage as well. And
they'll spite you. But on the subject, that same sort of part of the world, a man in Sydney. He's been charged with 169 animal abuse and trafficking offences. He was found in his house. They found a python, a turtle, 3 monitor lizards, and 2 dead crocodiles.
Crocodiles. Are those the latest ones at Italtile?
Yeah.
Crocodiles.
Come to Italtile.
Crocodile lounge. The crocodiles. But he found 2 dead crocodiles in his house.
Smell
2 dead crocodiles.
Unbelievable. What the hell's wrong with people? That's horrendous.
They do make that noise.
Imagine that's the last noise you hear.
Oh, no. The last noise you'll hear will be... No, they actually... Their mouths suction, and then when they open them to catch something, like a chicken, it goes...
Sorry, I don't know about that brief. You see, I am certain, absolutely certain, that actually wouldn't kill me. I would die just before
attack, yeah.
I see. Yeah, yeah, I'd die from a heart attack.
I'd be the same as a shark. But I went to the crocodile farm, and they were all in this pit, like 50 of them. And they just started throwing in these dead chooks. Mm. And their mouths were...
Was that, did you go to the one in Sun City? Did you go to the one in Sun City?
No.
That's a great experience, actually.
On the south coast of
crocodile
Kwazulu
farms
Natal.
Are interesting.
I saw one of those videos on YouTube where a bunch of crocodiles were all being fed, and the one crocodile caught the chicken, and the other crocodile bit its leg off.
Oh.
Bit the one that had won the chicken, bit its leg off.
Take that.
Off.
Mm.
Off. They have no, there's no sociability with crocodiles. They're not friends. If you've got a chicken and I don't, I will take your leg.
Gosh.
And it ate it.
How horrible.
Yet you look at the mum crocs, how they're so amazing with their babies and gentle.
Oh, please, don't buy it for a second.
The ones they don't eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Little all snack right. here and there.
All right, there's lots of other stuff going on. Now, Aretha Franklin, you remember, died what is it, a year ago?
About
a year ago, yeah. Maybe less. So Sis Ree died, and obviously it was a bad and sad day for music, and anybody who's ever heard a voice knows that this woman was at the top of the pile. She was just unbelievable. But she had a bit of a problem because her estate was unmanageable. Mm-hmm. She wrote a whole lot of handwritten wills. Not a good idea.
So not just one.
She kept changing it because she, you know, as her children would visit her. This happens with old people. That's why you got to visit them to the end.
Yeah, she was 76.
Right, and if you stop visiting
them... You've got to be consistent.
If you stop visiting a rich old person, they will write you out of their will.
Also remember, their memory might be short, so you've got to go at least once a week.
But granted, and lest we forget, this is a woman who was very careful with her business dealings. You know, she still only wanted to be paid in cash.
Definitely.
And you wonder, a legend like that, how much was she paid for an hour's concert?
Big, big money.
And how do you get all of that big money in cash?
Big money. She would have bags of it. And then she might have banked some of it, but there might still be stuff lying around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she got four sons. They kept finding these wills, right?
Yeah, it was actually her niece this week who found three wills in her house. Two were in an abandoned safe, and the one was wedged underneath sofa cushions in her lounge. So she might have just been casually watching TV, and she thought, shucks, I do have a lot of stuff. Let's
I'm going to take away Clarence's inheritance.
Let's write some things down. So she did write a couple of notes that technically classifies as a will, and she stuffed that underneath her sofa cushions. And now there'll be a hearing set for June the 12th, where the courts will decide whether these handwritten wills are valid or they'll have to go with state laws.
Listen, I want everybody to go home today after work, and I want you to look under your sofa cushions and see what you find. You'd be amazed at what you find under sofa cushions.
Ugh. The scum and the muck and the weirdness.
Check, no, you really shouldn't be, because you should be cleaning that thing.
No, you should, but go and take a look, because you find jelly beans and you'll find amazing stuff that's been there for who knows how long.
So,
when last did you check under your sofa?
No, because mine gets vacuumed twice a week, fully. Ben,
I don't really have, like, it's a fixed couch.
Okay.
So yeah. There's no real cushion as such.
So yeah, have you checked yours?
For me, it would just be cat hair anyway.
Oh, God, all right.
So two of these wills were written in 2010, and one of them was written in 2014, and already there are issues between Aretha's four kids. She has four sons. Mm-hmm. Now, two of the sons are listed quite regularly in these handwritten wills.
Oh.
Like, Teddy, you're going to get the house. I trust you the most.
Oh.
And then the other son will go about and, you know, divide the money and. Whereas the other two sons, a bit of a scandal, aren't really getting a lot from her estate. So the other two who aren't getting a lot are pushing for state laws. So Aretha lived in Detroit, which is in Michigan, and the Michigan state laws say that in the event where there is no will, a person's estate is divided equally amongst
her
children.
The two shit sons, basically,
yes.
they want state law to apply. Yeah.
Yeah, they just want to know that they can at least get something.
The two sons who were putting in the hard yards and actually looking after her, they say, no, 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 go with the wills. So who's it going to be?
Mm. So let's count down and wait for June the 12th to see how that will all play out. I wonder.
Just by the way, have they settled Prince's estate yet? I know there's a movie that's in the works. Have they actually settled his estate?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything recently about it.
I don't follow the story.
Oh.
Well, Tyga Nelson is probably still here then everywhere.
Well, thanks. That felt like a ton of bricks. So, okay, forget I even asked.
Right.
But you know, like, I don't understand how these big, big stars who make tons of money and they're really world famous and they aren't responsible when it comes to their businesses.
People are not, because you see, people think they're going to live forever. So they don't do wills. I've done a will.
Yeah.
You have to do one. If you've got anything of value, whether you own property, if you have a car, whatever you've got, there's someone who's got to inherit that. If you die, and you're going to make sure your debts are covered and all that kind of thing. Well, so you've got to have a will.
Whitney Houston's family is still just pushing things out, regardless of wills. They are planning a hologram tour of Whitney.
Oh, no.
It's genuinely in the works. And the brother, Whitney's brother, is the one who's actually pushing for this because he will be the backup artist to Whitney on this tour.
Well, as of April, so last month, Gareth, Prince's estate was still unsettled 3 years after his death.
Yeah, and these are not stupid people, and it's not just because they're fighting over these. It's because what Sia says is true, that people don't look after their stuff. They don't have plans for what will happen to it. They don't manage their finances properly. And it's all good and well. You see, a lot of these people, they're making so much money that they don't actually care where it's going.
That's it. And they feel, as you say, immortal.
Yeah. No, so they don't think about death. All right. Other things that are going on in the news. Let's take a look at a story that I mentioned earlier, the virgin active masturbator.
Well, you actually call him the virgin active wanker.
No, I just said that wanker at Virgin Active.
But no, but you said like, the wanker in the gym.
We all know who we're talking about.
We've got to give him a title.
Okay. VAM. VAM.
Yes.
Virgin Active Masturbator.
Well, Western Cape police have now confirmed that a case of sexual assault has been opened against him.
But who's been sexually assaulted?
This is true.
See, this is my problem. Like, I don't approve of this behavior. Don't get me wrong. Not acceptable. Socially, it's deplorable. There is no way, as Ben said the other day on the show, that this should be tolerated. People like this should be kept out of society, right? But this is probably, there's something wrong here. The guy was totally unaware of the fact that there were two other people filming him. He's sitting in broad public, you know, no one, even the girl he was supposedly looking at, or not looking at, because he says he was looking at his phone. She hasn't been assaulted. Assault is a very serious thing, and any girl who's ever been assaulted will tell you that. So it's a violation that isn't just someone looking at you. There's a different thing going on there, and that's pretty rough, but it's not the same as being physically, sexually assaulted.
Yeah. No, assault, I agree completely.
Assault is you have to do something.
You have to be touched.
Right.
But you know that movie Minority Report where they can see like an hour into the future and they can like prevent all these murders and crimes by just going through that? I know it's a sci-fi movie, but if you're cracking one off at a gym in public, what are you really capable of? I'm going to take it this is almost a progressive prosecution.
Wow. Okay, Ben.
I know I'm stretching here, but let's be honest.
You can't hold someone responsible for things they haven't yet done.
I don't think this is the pinnacle of his perverseness. That's what I'm saying.
Is he that perverted or is he just a little disturbed and socially unaware? He's been raised by veal, like a veal in a box.
Maybe he's been doing this all along.
He's been raised by a pervert. And again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but bring the father in. Have a look at him. What's his record? How do people see him in society?
All right. Okay.
He learned this from someone.
So they've actually opened a criminal case of sexual assault.
Which means they haven't disclosed who laid the charge.
No. Well, I certainly hope it isn't Virgin Active because they weren't sexually assaulted by him.
No, it must be. I think it's
the girl he was allegedly looking at. It's going to be hard to prove. I think this is a wrong way to go. This guy needs therapy. He doesn't need a jail sentence. Imagine we get sent to jail for jerking off.
Yeah.
That's a new and crazy way to go. I don't think this is okay. I think he needs therapy. He needs help. He needs treatment. You know, first of all, there's something wrong here. I'm telling you, we don't know the whole story. There's something wrong. This kid might be like a bit slow or something. But apparently, people who have brain injuries or mental illness or that kind of thing, they don't know that it's socially unacceptable to do this.
They can also be quite sexually
unashamed.
Yeah, but also they have quite a high sex drive.
Maybe it's that.
Yeah, we all have high sex drives. It's what you do with it, though. No. I believe. I think we're all kind of wired in a certain way.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm also one of those people who says it doesn't matter what a girl wears and how much you're turned on as a guy, you're not allowed to just do what you want.
Mm.
You know, it's not the woman's responsibility to dress, in inverted commas, modestly. It's the guy's responsibility to behave yourself like a like a human being, for heaven's sake.
Yes.
Not one of those lizards like we were discussing just now. Anyway, so poor guy, he's gonna be charged criminally with this.
Yeah, and he thought
the worst was he'd lose his membership.
Yeah, and also a trial starting next week, and that's with the Greek beach race ranter, Adam
Wraith Ranther.
Is it Katsavelos, I think?
Yeah, Adam Katsavelos. I remember that story.
Yeah.
So two or three questions I have around that. First of all, who has jurisdiction? Because he did this in Greece. So do the Greeks have to prosecute him? Or because the harm was done in South Africa, supposed harm.
Yes, it'll be in the Randburg District Court.
Okay, but if it's a criminal situation, then they must be using creamin in urea.
That's what they are.
Oh, that's revolting.
That's the charge he faces.
If it's creamin in urea, it has to be a specific person. It can't be a group of... Now, who in particular?
The EFF in Gauteng.
Yes, but who has he... Did he say in the video, I would like to go after, and these are the persons.
You so can't many questions.
Can't be a collective. No. Creamin and urea is very particular.
Yeah.
So if you're going to charge someone with creamin and urea, it needs to be a person. So it needs to be Leanne Moll or Sia Sangweni or Gareth Cliff or Ben Karpinski. You can't say all those people in podcasting.
Yes. So it has to be one person.
Yeah. You can't say all the blacks or all the whites. If you're going to be charged with creamin and urea, it's got to be a person. So they're going to have a tough time prosecuting this. Plus, why do we know that he's coming in for a trial? Who let that slip? Someone who obviously wants a mob outside the court.
Dispatch Live understands from legal sources that it'll be happening.
I'd be very suspicious of who it is that leaked that. Because this isn't really, if it's a criminal case, unless you're looking for a noise and you're trying to create some uproar, I want to know who leaked that. That's interesting.
Also, I think you're not allowed to use the person's name before they've appeared in court.
No, it's only in the case of minors.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's only in the case of minors. Look who's here. Gina and Edith.
Hey. Hi.
All right. Sit down, you two. Have you been looked after? Have you had something to drink? Are you comfortable?
Very comfortable.
Very nice to see you both. Edith, you were a big favorite of Ben's.
Oh, that's amazing.
Ben was very upset when Lee turned his back on you and threw you out.
So ditto. We had the same emotion. Yeah. Yeah.
Ben was actually pissed off. He came in that day. He was particularly grumpy. And so what, we'll admit, like, we all had, we were all backing, you know, we all drew names out of a hat. Mm-hmm. And fortune favored me. I drew both Gina and Yazan's name.
Yes.
So I was a winner, regardless.
What did you win? What did you get? I hope it was something special, something big.
I won some money. So I won.
How much? Can we share
it? I won 200, because I doubled down on the last show. I doubled down with Ben on the last show. I said, "If it's going to be Gina." And he said, well, fine, I'll give you 200 if it's Gina. So look at me. I won off of you. Little Miss Myers.
Put some money on that.
We're all winners.
Little Miss Myers scored me $200 off Ben and $100 off Leanne.
Don't ever tell me that I don't love you, Gareth.
I know. It's so amazing. But look, I saw you at a wedding in December.
Yes.
And you still had to keep all this under wraps.
Yes.
Had you guys already, like, separated and gone your separate ways, you and Lee, by then?
No.
Oh, you were still together?
It was just before. I actually remember talking to you about taking risks in life and how life has brought us to this place because we took different risks. Do you remember me asking you?
We had a very philosophical conversation. Yes. I wasn't sure what it was about, really, because... and I didn't want to ask you about The Bachelor because I knew you were still in the midst of it, right?
Well, it wasn't even out that I was on the show yet. So nobody knew.
That's
in the
right.
midst of this,
right.
I was I in this know. Relationship. Nobody knew that I was even on the show. So it was I can't even explain the feeling. It was actually quite overwhelming.
You're saying no one knew, but no, like your family knew.
My family knew. One or two of my friends knew. But other than that, I went through this intense relationship where I came back and I was so in love and I couldn't believe that this fairy tale happened to me. And then I had to go through a heartbreak just the same, where no one could see that I was happy and no one could see that I was sad.
And you couldn't talk to anyone.
Oh, my word.
Sounds very difficult.
It's really, really
hard. It's like being a Martian. Yeah. And you land on Earth and everybody else is speaking a different language to you.
Yeah.
Like,
it's all foreign.
You've pitched up in a different time zone.
Mm. All right. So we really, we tried to follow the whole show. Mm-hmm. And from the beginning, I thought you were a favorite. You kind of held back right in the beginning, Gina.
I think I did. I think I let I let myself get used to what was going on around me, because the first night I was there, I launched into it and it was too much for me. And it's very easy to say you're going in there to be yourself, but when you're there and there's about 10 cameras around
you. Yeah, and they follow you everywhere.
And they follow you everywhere, and you're meeting 24 different girls that you, 23 other different girls that you have no idea who they are. You've never met them. It becomes extremely out of your comfort zone, and you might act differently.
It's so unnatural. Like, you two are both really attractive women. You obviously have been out in Joburg or Pretoria or Durban or Cape Town or wherever, and you, because you're attractive, you get attention, but it's men hitting on you. Now suddenly you're in this weird situation where it's, you're competing with the other girls for one guy.
It definitely puts you out of your element. I mean, it's quite overwhelming. And I think that with all of the girls, when we first met, we were so nervous. We actually kind of felt like, okay, what do we do now? Do we approach him? Do we?
It's an unnatural situation.
It's very unnatural. Like,
did you see the first episode with Edith and I?
To be honest, it's the only one I watched from beginning to end.
The rest of us watched it all. That was the worst
every moment.
All
right. So tell me why that you asked that. What is it in particular?
So
that you
Edith
were doing?
And I we kind of met each other, and she said to me, "We're going to do this together. We're not going there as, you know, competing women, we're going there together." I was like, yes, let's do this. We're going as women together.
Yeah.
And we got there, and well, Edith can tell the rest of the story.
So it was so crazy. The girls were quite aggressive initially, and I said to Gina, don't let people kind of push you away or bring down your confidence. Like, I'll hold your hand and let's do it together, because I'm also nervous as hell. So when we get there, I remember Gina literally ran with the show, and she had all these terrible jokes, by the way. They're so terrible,
but I'm funny.
But she, okay,
he liked it.
You know what, Gina, you did have a little bit of an advantage in one way, in that you're not completely unaware of how the media world works. I mean, you've dealt with TV, you've been involved in television for a long time. You knew how the back end of it worked. You've met a lot of people from TV. It's not as if you were suddenly like, ooh, overawed by television.
So it is weird, because I thought I was going in there knowing and understanding a certain amount of television, because I've done the makeup for reality shows, I've been involved, but nothing prepares you.
When you're the person, right?
When you're the person there, nothing prepares you. And you also, you don't know how it's going to come out. You don't know what's going to come across, because actually sometimes you don't even remember that situation. Mm. You don't remember what you said. You don't, it's weird, because eventually you get so used to it, you don't even notice the cameras around.
Yeah.
Right. How much of what you hear people saying now and during the show was not true? Was the portrayal quite correct and everyone got it right?
The biggest misconception, I think, is that people thought we were rivals and we were all kind of on competition mode or whatever. But
some of the girls just really didn't care. Like, who did we have in here the other day who just, she didn't give a shit. She was like totally disinterested.
Anne-Lean, was that her name?
Anne-Lean. She was totally disinterested. Yeah. She was like, ugh, the sooner I can get
off
the show.
She was like, my sisters made me enter. I didn't really want to do it.
I think it was quite important to look at yourself as an individual and see what your journey is going to be like and try to remain true to yourself. And if that was your focus, that's how you aligned yourself the whole time. And so you kind of shut everybody out at a certain point, because you let everybody in and then everything else kind of like, you know, sets you off.
When did you wrap the show? When did it finish in terms of last episode?
I can't give you exact dates, but I can tell you that we came back early-ish December.
Okay.
And it was about, it was a couple of weeks. It was about eight, nine weeks.
Mm. And then how long after that did you and Lee decide this isn't working?
It was about 2 or 3 weeks.
And were the TV people upset with you? Because for them, they know that there's a live show coming up at the end of the season and their ratings attached to that. And they'd love to have like a true romance story.
So I think for everybody, including South Africa, that would have been, including me, that would have been the
bonanza.
Ideal situation.
Exactly, the fairy tale. But they have never, ever not supported my decision. They've never not supported me. They've always been extremely, when I wanted to go see a psychologist, they were extremely supportive in that decision, and they allowed me to, you know, whoever I want, whenever I want. They've never tried to push me into any situation. They understand that it's not It's not just a TV show. These are people's emotions.
You said just now, and Edith, I'm coming to you now, but okay. I want people are interested
no
because
problem,
obviously.
No problem. I totally get it.
And you two we're become friends too, and yes. I want to talk about how that's worked.
But, no problem.
All right, so Gina, you said earlier you had fallen in love and you thought it was a bit of a fairy tale in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because also, there's all this stuff being done around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how I
and
often
explain. And for you. Everything's like.
People, correct. How Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie fell in love on that Mr. and Mrs. Smith set. Because you're living in this weird fantasy world. Everybody's giving you all the attention. You don't have to worry about where you're sleeping, what you're eating, what work. You don't have work. You're in this cocoon. Mm. And this person, in this case with both of you, it's these two people who've been part of this story,
mm-hmm.
and now it feels like there's something amazing going on. So in the beginning, it is all those good things, right?
It is, but you also don't realize that when you're not spending time with Lee, you're spending time at the house, and you don't get to see him otherwise. Unless it's rose ceremonies or you're spending time with him on a date.
You weren't like WhatsApping each other.
No, we had no outside communication.
You don't have your phone?
You don't have communication.
No TV, nothing.
That's like a prison camp.
Yep.
Well, actually, let me tell you that the least amount of anxiety I've ever experienced in my life was on that show.
Because
not having my phone.
Because you didn't have social media.
Because I didn't have social media. I didn't have to attend to my phone. I didn't have it stuck to me. The most introspection I've ever done in my entire life was during The Bachelor.
Huh.
Because, like you say, you know, you come home from a date, you are glowing. It's been so amazing. It's been just something that you've never experienced before, really.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this Prince Charming, and you get along with him, and everything's fairy tales and butterflies. And then you come home, and you see all the girls, you tell them your story, you tell them what happened. It was like a debrief every time. And then you have to go into a little corner. And this is what I did every time. And I appreciated the entire day. And I said to myself, tomorrow morning, there's going to be another date. So enjoy it for now. And then tomorrow's a different day. Like, get your head out of it. And the fact that I had that power, that kind of strength to do that for myself, and also to say to another girl, how was your date? And I genuinely meant it.
Mm. So it's very healthy. That sounds very mentally healthy. It sounds very emotionally healthy. Mm. But would you say that not having to be attached to your phone the whole time, I mean, you really, it sounds like that was a good thing.
Mm.
Are you going to try and do that again? Are you going to try and do these digital detoxes? And would you suggest other people do them?
I can recommend it so highly. I went to Amsterdam a few weeks ago for my birthday, and I didn't get a SIM card. And in the morning, I check my phone. At night, I just, you know, check in with my parents. But during the day, I tried so hard to be present and to actually enjoy where I was, because so often you'll walk into a restaurant or you'll walk into a club or you'll walk into wherever and everybody's on their phones.
Yeah.
Mm. You're having conversations even to each other on your phone.
Right.
And for me, it highlighted something, and I was known, especially before, to be on my phone all the time. And it's part of my job. It's demanding. And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful. Social media is amazing. It has the power to do both, obviously. But I definitely saw the benefits.
Did you experience this as well, Edith?
I don't think to that extent. I think I don't really suffer a lot from anxiety. So for me, it was quite a different experience. I felt very detached from my family, from my surroundings. I felt like I was going to lose my mind because I wasn't necessarily reading to the capacity that I usually do, or having conversations with peers or colleagues or that sort of thing. So it was a bit difficult for me in terms of adapting. But once you're in that setting, you adapt. It's like survival mode, and you forget about those little things. But
can I just tell you that every single morning, we used to go through 2 hours of Edith trying on clothes.
Oh.
Edith, you already
have a montage.
Edith's a lawyer. So yes. Law, you got to dress right for the situation.
You know,
first of all,
Gareth get it.
If you don't dress appropriately and you're going to court, for example, they can actually hold you in contempt. They can chase
you
out of the court.
Really?
So, yes. So first of all, you've got to dress a certain way. And I mean, that's like being respectable.
Is it decorum, you know?
Plus, sure, justified away, Edith.
I'm so glad Gareth gets it.
You were on a show with a bunch of other bitches also dressing up.
You gotta, you know, be prepared. I remember when I came in, I had 4 luggage bags.
Yeah.
And the other girl, one of the girls had one bag. And I was like, excuse me, what are you going to wear? Yeah. And I didn't get it. But like, I'm so glad I came with four bags because that was fun.
They tell you to pack for the entire
You were on the house till the end.
Yep. Well, not necessarily to the end, because once you leave, you leave the mansion. And so with Gina being longer on
she was there the show, right
she was there right
We
through.
Went to Mauritius.
I mean,
okay, how was it?
It's not brag.
how was it? So are you telling me though that these feelings are genuine? Like when you're in it, it's real. You're not making it up. They're not telling you, just reenact that for the cameras.
Do you know what I keep saying to people? Is that they didn't look for actors on the show. None of the girls were professional actors. Yeah. I mean, every single thing that you feel and that you do is exactly like it's happening in your real
natural
life.
Natural reaction.
Exactly. Yeah. So the music that you hear on the show makes everything better. Like, I made a joke and they put all these crickets and I was like, ha, 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 that's so funny. I sound funny on TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
But everything else
So now now the show's finished. You've filmed that last bit in Mauritius. Mm-hmm. He's now chosen you. Mm-hmm. Which everybody except Lee was shocked by. I mean, everybody said that, right? Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, Sia told me, like, he was watching and he said, what?
Yeah.
Well, I was expecting a beatdown to happen from Jazan's reaction. I'm like, Lee, you better take 3 steps back because you're about to get a fist.
Jazan's a straight talker. She's, I can imagine in court, she's probably just cutthroat, but like, she's such an amazing person. And
yeah, she is. Yeah.
This is really detail intensive. So, but that moment happens. Mm-hmm. You and Lee, Lee professes his love to you.
Confesses.
Do you leave?
Same.
Do you leave that day? Do you leave Mauritius that day?
Oh, we left the next day.
And you two fly together. Where was Yazan in all of this? Because I would have my arms crossed three rows behind you on the plane. Throwing peanuts your way.
So firstly, two things. One, I was walking down there towards Lee. I did not think that Lee and I would end up together until the last two dates in Mauritius. Mm-hmm. Because I saw the connection between the two of them. I saw it. Mm. And even one of the episodes, I literally was like, why must I accept a rose? Because I can see that there's something else and something real with someone else, and I'll never be someone to stop people from falling in love.
Right. You also don't want to be like second best, you know?
Yeah,
but look, all knew why we were going onto the show and how it could land up and be, but when even when it came to hometown, I said to him, there's physical connection here, but I don't know so much about the emotional connection. Like, I need to see if there's something here. And that was the first time Lee and I connected on a different level. Mm-hmm. And from there grew. And then Mauritius, it got even more intense. But up until then, I even told myself on the day, cried the whole morning. Then I was walking up to Lee and I was preparing in my head. I was trying to breathe and it's very nerve-wracking.
And not have an ugly cry.
And not have
not
an ugly,
be chosen.
Yeah, I don't cry very pretty. It's not pretty. Mm. An ugly voice.
I get it.
Yeah. So I was walking up there thinking to myself, how am I going to tell them to have the best lives together? I must just breathe. I must talk slowly. But I was preparing the speech to give Lee and Yuzan.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's tough.
Mm. Yeah. When I said, oh my God, and then really meant
but
it.
But then as Sia says, on the plane on the way back, you're not sitting next to her, are you?
No, everyone was separated.
Oh.
Everyone. Oh, okay. Everyone.
So, I mean, when you left, Edith, did you leave any regrets?
I don't think I came in with any intentions of having any regrets. And that's the kind of mindset that I have. If I'm going to do something, it's because I want to do it. And I want to go through this journey. And I'm willing to accept what happens to me. When I left, I was so emotionally distraught that I felt like, oh my gosh, I'll never see these girls again. We weren't allowed to communicate for the longest time. And, you know, people don't understand that even as the ladies leave, there's more to that. Like, it's not just, oh my God, Lee just sent me home, he dumped me. It's more about, like, it's this whole dynamic.
That sounds to me like you didn't give a damn about Lee.
No,
you were,
I
like,
did.
You're missing out on your
friends. We had a real connection. Like, it kind of faded away towards the end, but it also kind of hurt. It's like losing. Nobody likes losing. And you felt like, oh my gosh, I thought that we could build. Mm. I thought that we could, you know, there'd be an opportunity. But when it's your time to go, I didn't see it coming as much as I saw it coming. Yeah. And I didn't want to believe it. But when it happened, I made peace with it. And it was tough, but I also accepted that process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does it feel strange to have people come up to you and say, oh my God, you were my favorite one?
I think the weirdest thing for me is when people kind of give each other nudges and you don't know if you should say, hi, do you want a picture with me?
It's as if,
it's really weird.
It's as if they think you're still on TV and you can't see them.
It's
elbowing each other going,
it's a crazy thing. So it's really awkward. I have a lot of awkward moments and I'm also new to so much attention. So it's really awkward. And people will say, you hear people whispering, is that Edith? Is that Edith? Yeah. And you can hear your name.
I'll give you some advice. Pretend you're deaf and blind and just go about what you were going to do. And if you're walking in the shops, just carry on. If they don't come up to you, then they're too nervous. It's going to be horrible anyway. Because if they're nervous and they come up to you, it's going to be fumbling and the phone doesn't work. And so just avoid. Just
deaf
walk.
And
walk
blind.
Walk as if you can't hear and you can't see.
Got it. Best advice ever.
Keep your life together.
Keep all, it moving.
You know what? In that moment, Edith, it's your world. Don't worry about them whispering and elbowing each other.
I feel so bad.
I got into an Uber. I got to a petrol station and I got out the Uber to go. I think I went to go get chocolates and a water or whatever. And I heard these girls screaming. And I thought someone was being attacked. I ran back into the Uber. Drive! Drive! He's like, but they're running after you. And I saw these two girls.
Like not having it regardless. Yeah.
All right, so when did you and Lee decide it was enough? Who decided? Did you decide?
Yeah.
Okay, so you broke it off with him.
I did.
Was he very upset?
He was. He was in a very bad space.
This didn't happen on
very
camera.
Very bad space, no. Which is so weird for everybody else because the whole time, you know, the producers always used to say to us, you can't, because if you're not speaking to Lee, you get separated. If the camera's not on you speaking to Lee, you get separated. And you're like, I don't understand. Why can't we just have some time? And they go, because whatever happens has to happen on camera so that it makes sense.
It's our story, not yours. All right, a couple
but
of people.
But it's so true.
All right, so did you go over to his place and then he said to you, you know, what's going on? And you said, I've got to tell you something. And
you're talking about the breakup.
The breakup, yeah.
When we broke up, I basically just said to him he needs to fix himself and deal with this on his own. I've been in so many relationships where I feel like I can fix a person and it's genuinely who I am. I try and fix. And I knew that in this situation, it was just not good for me. And I said to him, I'll be here for you, but you need to do this on your own. I can't be a part of this.
Do you perhaps know if he saw Yazan after you? Before the show?
No, I don't.
Because, there are rumors.
Oh, my gosh. I've heard
what's the most stupid rumor you've
many
heard?
Many stories.
Go on.
I heard that during the show already, they asked me, as I was told that, well done, Gina. We heard you The Bachelorette. That's so exciting. And then people would like go on from that thread and be like, oh, no, she cheated on Lee. it was. And that was before anything even happened.
It's crazy.
How long do you think it's going to be? And maybe you're already in one, but how long until you can have a normal relationship again after this? Because this is always what people forget is the TV and that artificial world that you're in. It doesn't exactly help you to form meaningful relationships after that. Because you don't know why someone's interested in you.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether this is just someone who's looking for attention themselves, trying to make their own weird fantasy about The Bachelor come true. And it's also kind of hard when you've been on a show because they all think they know you.
Yeah.
Very true.
So I agree with that completely.
And this goes for you too, Edith. I mean, you know, have you had any relationships since the show?
I think I've
dates even
actively opened myself to dating, but not announcing it to people because I didn't want it to be a whole thing. But I found it very difficult.
Well, this
because,
is interesting. Tell me more.
Oh, stop. So I went on a date and you don't know if you should tell a person, so, hey, I was on a dating show, because then that kind of makes you also look like, you know, a fool or like a sucker for love or whatever other bad connotation is attached to it. And so now I'm struggling with, do I say this on the first day? Does this person know me? Are they pretending? So there's always those reservations. But I then kind of held back and I was like, you know what, maybe it's not the right time, but I'm definitely somebody who's keen on love. I love the whole idea and I hope that people aren't malicious enough to even look at the aspect that I was on the show or that they think they know me to the extent where they can just try to, you know, infiltrate my life in a malicious way. So It's just hopeful and wishful thinking.
Well, I'm just hoping that I've learned what I've needed to learn, because I feel like I'm really a different person since this whole thing.
You're quite serious about this.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I think you're quite serious. And Edith, you too, from what I've heard. Like, the two of you are talking about it as it's a serious project. And
it was.
You know, this is a frivolous, ridiculous show, actually.
It was a life experience.
But, it sounds like it taught you an enormous amount.
It did.
So what's going to happen?
So I feel like now I'm in a really, really good space. I'm content. I'm so excited about life. And I feel like when you're in that position, you attract the same kind of people. And I already came back, and it was actually very eye-opening to see the people that come out of your life and come into your life. So hopefully I've learned enough to tell the difference between that and to put myself in a situation that's...
It's also weird, though, because you break up with Lee, and then you have to wait about 3 months until you see him again. Yeah. Whether you saw each other in between is almost inconsequential, because that would have been voluntary. But you know you have to see each other, and it has to be in front of everybody else.
Yeah,
just actually, and then you have to explain yourselves, which is just such an unnatural situation again.
Yeah, it was quite tough. It was quite tough.
And you saw him and you had no regrets?
No. Hmm. I'm in a very, very good space.
And do you know how he's doing? Talk?
I don't, no.
You don't talk?
No.
You don't ever send each other a WhatsApp?
No.
You don't even have numbers?
No, we have each other's numbers.
All right.
That was actually the first thing that happened afterwards.
Because Edith showed me her WhatsApps with him, and that looks like a proper conversation.
Yeah, we have the best times. Like, we're flying to Mauritius soon, and it's going to be amazing. We're getting married in May, you know. So.
It's just really funny because, but
yeah.
Sorry, because you come out of the show, and he's chosen you, and I was like, do you want to take my number?
That is so weird.
Right, it's the opposite to the way it usually happens.
It's just very funny.
Okay, and then you two become really good friends, because Sia bumped into you the other night. You were out having a party, which sounds like a lot of fun. Are the other girls also, is it you two very close, or are there others?
So there are others, but Gina and I bonded from the first day we met, and then we had a big fight, and then we didn't talk to each other, and then I hated you, and you hated
me.
For like 3 days. And we kind of got along again, and it really strengthened our bond, and I feel like she's such a pillar of strength for me, and I couldn't even be there for her, given what she was going through, and that kind of hurt my emotions when she had to now disclose to me, oh no, it didn't work, and that sort of thing. So.
You got years of friendship. You two could be old house bras one day, and you can share stories about being on The Bachelor.
That's true.
I just want to get to some of these, because some people sent voice note questions for us, so we may have covered some of this, but just let's see.
Gina and Edith, did you ever notice during your time spent with The Bachelor how many times he said the word special?
I think I heard a lot of I think we have a connection, and I was so jealous when I watched the show back, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're such a loser, why did you say you have a connection with all these people? But I get it. I totally get it.
I think you learn, and maybe I don't know how much of this is true, maybe you learn to just appreciate what you said about Amsterdam just now, like being in the moment.
Yeah.
And when you're in this situation, weird as it is, and there are cameras and there are lights and there are things to think about, either you're going to make the best of every situation, even though it's weird and unnatural and bizarre that you've got these, you know, all these girls competing for this one guy. You just got to try and make it work, right?
I think the best thing for me was when I got my individual date, I was like, hallelujah, everybody knew I didn't want to be on a group date. I thought I wouldn't do well, and I got what I wanted, and I got to have individual time with him. So that kind of puts your mind off of everything and everybody else. And so that was an advantage for me, and that's why we had that connection, because we spent the whole day together, which is a lot of time in that time as opposed to real time. So it kind of helps.
She literally came back with Lee's cap and a rose.
Yep. Do either still have that cap.
do either of you watch the other international Bachelors? And what do you think that the South African one lacked that the other ones have?
I don't think it's about lacking. I think the formats are different. I think South Africa is a lot more conservative, and you have to. It's you know, it was Mnet. You have to. It's your target market, your audience that you are addressing to. So... I don't know if it was lacking or I think it was just different. So I was actually really impressed by the production. Especially about the little musical, little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, but what we'll do is put this podcast together, let you listen to it a little later if you've only missed, if you've only got the first bit or you only heard the end and you want to hear the rest. But Edith and Gina, thank you so much for coming to see
thank
us.
Thank you so much for having us, Karen. Us.
Sure. And we'll get you guys in here again.
How much
fun. Talk some more nonsense. Yeah. Yes. No, it's very cool to see you. Big fan of the show also, George Meany, who's the CEO of Auto Trader.
By way of his wife.
George's wife forced him to watch the show.
So he actually, the best, George, come in
and take your seat.
Rubbish. That's absolute rubbish. George normally gets here. George gets here at this time. Today, he got here at 7:30.
Yeah. Do you know how many women and girls are like, my husband and my boyfriend is obsessed with the show.
Guys, watch this. And you know what? Couples like to watch this show together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually quite
gives
a
them
nice
things
watch.
To talk yeah, about, it does. Laugh about. Yeah,
and it,
sure.
It helps them maybe have conversations that they haven't had before.
So, George, you're more impressed with Gina and Edith than you were on the show.
I think they're shorter than I imagined.
I'm way shorter.
You should see me standing. Maybe that should be a thing.
No, I'm short. I'm fun-sized.
I can see
how short you are. All right, so George, how are you?
Good, and you, Gareth?
Very, very good. While we've still got the girls here, do you want to tell us what's going on in the world of motoring? We've got Monaco this weekend.
Yes,
right?
We have Monaco this weekend, one of the most famous races on the calendar. But a sad story is that Niki Lauda died this week at the age of 70, and he just turned 70 3 months ago.
So Niki Lauda was a famous racer. He also started airlines. He was a tremendously successful businessman, and he was always kind of on the scene. Had a lung transplant operation, I believe, in the beginning of the year.
And then never recovered properly. And then you know, went peacefully, apparently, in his bed earlier this week. Mm. So condolences to that family. It's a sad state of affairs, I think. But he lived a good life, 70 years old, dodged death, and lived.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Well, rest in peace, Niki Lauda.
Exactly. And then a South African, Tasman Pepper. We spoke about Tasman Pepper a couple of weeks ago.
Your friend, I saw you on a video with her the other day at some awards show.
And she will be in the studio on Monday.
Excellent.
Ah. And Tasman Pepper has got herself a sixth place in the W Series in the last race.
Listen to this, Edith and Gina, because this is a woman who's doing amazing things.
She's got a very cool surname.
Yep.
Damn right, huh? She sounds like she should be dating Iron Man.
Iron Man. Well, the W Series, all the cars are exactly the same as Formula 2, and the girls race against each other, and she came eighth two races ago, and she came sixth in the last race. So nice. She's doing very, very well. First South African to get into the W Series.
All right, so don't miss Auto Central on Monday to hear from Tasman Pepper.
Tasman Pepper, nice. Yes. And then rich passengers can now apparently demand silence from their contracted drivers through the app. Uber's just released a part of their app that says you can tell the driver to shut the hell up.
Now, this is good. You know, sometimes, well, listen, not everyone you meet is going to be your best friend, and sometimes you just need to get from A to B. Now, the fact that you're hiring someone else to drive you rather than driving yourself there might not necessarily mean that you want to have a huge conversation.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you can just say it politely on the app. Like, you know, maybe you've got work to do, you've got messages to reply to. You don't need to have a chat to everybody. I happen to have really interesting chats with Uber drivers.
Yeah,
I find that I'm silent. I'm silent going to the venue. Coming back, I'm like,
well, that's because you've had 7 bottles of wine.
Depends what happened at the venue.
Stop over here for a snack.
Yeah, do you want to come in for some tea?
Well, I've been really focusing on my Uber rating, and it's gone up from 4.36 to 4.4. What is yours on now, Gareth?
I'm going to check now.
I also want to check my Uber rating.
Yeah, go. Have you got your phone here?
No, it's outside then.
Damn you.
4.4, so I've gone up 0.04.
Well done.
4.68.
You little shit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the Uber. Listen, I don't get a bad rating, which means I must be treating the Uber drivers nicely.
Exactly.
I've heard really cool stories from Uber drivers.
Mm. Yeah, you do. You find out interesting things. A lot of these people are Uber drivers because that's the quickest way for them to get a job in an economy with not a lot of jobs. Some of them are hopelessly overqualified for driving a car. I mean, there's some scientists and lawyers
engineers.
And all kinds of people. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What's and then your, lastly,
4.75.
What?
Yay!
Oh, wow. She's the winner.
Did that go up? I think it went up.
I haven't ever checked it.
No, we checked it in the studio.
Did we?
Yes.
Must have gone up. I don't know how she did that.
4.75. I really want to check my
bribery, yeah. Bribery and corruption.
I think she's bribing these people somehow.
All right, but you can now click a switch that'll allow you to have privacy and silence. Oh, what a pleasure.
I don't know how they're going to take that, though.
No.
It's going to be awkward.
I don't think so. That maybe for them it's a relief.
Yeah.
Maybe. You don't know that they want to talk to you. Get in and you're all chatty and they're like, oh, for God's sake.
I have met Uber drivers that are just not on the chatty.
Yeah. I prefer silence, like Gareth. Okay. But I added this one in because these two ladies were in here this morning.
Yay.
And that is dating sites have analyzed if you have a car in your profile.
In your picture.
In your picture.
As a girl or a guy?
As a guy.
Okay.
Do you get more messages?
Yeah, because why would a girl put a car in their picture?
Yeah.
Very rare.
Yeah.
If you're a guy and you have a car in your picture,
which
you
is often.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. It's a like no it. For me.
Ben says small penis.
Big ego.
Big ego.
Yeah, completely.
No. Well, here are the stats for both men and women.
Let's hear it.
On average, people who have a car in their photo get 165% more inbound messages than vehicle-less people.
Jeez. You're joking.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. But the showcase of a Jeep will boost the number of messages that you receive by 243%.
What?
So a Jeep
driving
is what
the wrong
you
car.
Want.
The Jeep Wrangler, to be precise.
Oh, wow.
You have a picture with your Jeep Wrangler in it, you get way more hits.
149% increase if you have a BMW in your photo. Sure. And a 73% increase for a Toyota. And a 61% increase for a van.
A van. No.
Vans are bad.
Vans are
ban the van.
Yeah.
Van creepy, the van. Creepy ban the van. People only.
You might as well have your pedo glasses on when you take the picture of the van.
And a 42% increase if you have a sedan or a truck.
Well, just curious, how did you find these statistics?
There's research from the dating sites.
So, sing on Google.
Have either of you ever been on a dating site?
I was on
I've
Tinder.
Been on Tinder as well.
You were on Tinder, okay. Yeah,
I was on J Swipe as well.
Everybody is. That's the Jewish dating site,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it?
So Leanne is, because she was saying earlier this morning, I love to bring things full circle. She was like, you know, she might go on a dating. No, she said she'd never go on a dating show. And I said to her, don't say never.
Yeah.
I used to think the same thing. Yeah. I used to laugh at them all the time. And look at me now. I'm the joke.
Well, I don't think either of you embarrassed yourselves at all on this show.
In fact, I think it's
done both of you the world of good. It sounds like it's been a good personal journey as well. So I'm very happy. And look how much George enjoyed it, even though he thought he wouldn't.
Well, final stat is for the guys in Boksburg. If you have a GTI in your picture, you get a 15% decrease in messages.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Wow.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's
Yara
a bit risque.
Yeah, but yeah.
A GTI from Boksburg and it hits you. It hits your writing and right in a bad place. Wow. All right. So that's
too much fun.
That's very interesting.
I can see how you guys hang out here and just...
Yeah, because now I just don't want to go.
We just sit here and talk shit every morning.
You want to
stay until 9? We can sit here and stay until 9. All right, couple of episodes of some really cool new podcast series we've got starting today. So if you've only started listening to us today, you're in luck because we've got Beyond Bitcoin, which is a brand new cryptoverse podcast with all the altcoins, everything you need to know. That's live on our show at 7 a.m. on a Monday. Or you can catch the podcasts, and we launched that this week with Sean. You can hear the interview I did with him. Also, Let's Start an Argument. For those of you into something a little more intellectual, there is a real discussion between Jason and Cecilia on what the big concepts in politics and in society and in the economy and everything else have as their origin. What they actually are. You need to understand things like the nature of race, justice, affirmative action, identity, politics. If that's up your street, then Let's Start an Argument is a good place for you to start. The Healthy Business Show, brought to you by Discovery Business, which is full of interesting interviews with entrepreneurs and all the stories of their various entrepreneurial journeys. You want to hear all about that. And Guncast, which starts today. Guncast, of course, where you can hear about licensed firearm ownership and everything to do with that. George, you got a gun?
Two.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You got a gun, Gina?
No, I'm scared of them.
You should get one with all these men who are going to be interested in you. Edith, you got a gun?
No, my mom had one, though.
Really?
Very scary.
And your mom never had trouble from any guy.
Nope,
my
she didn't.
Power.
That's right.
Power.
Leanne's got several guns, except they're not licensed.
No.
So I'm just saying
that. They're not loaded.
So Guncast starts today. That's really, really cool. It's 9 a.m. Don't miss that. And Sex Talk is back with a four-part special about relationships.
Oh, that's
which
fun.
Is, brought to you by Zebra's Crossing, very private game lodge.
Very private.
Sure. Sure. Right,
have a happy weekend. We will see you here on Monday, bright and early at 6 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. Cheers. Be good. Blah, 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 blah. You know how it works. Don't have to explain this. You're not idiots.
CliffCentral.com.
That was so much fun.
This is CliffCentral.com.